Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 88 of the Uncovered podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at DefMango on Twitter. And with me is Jared Kimber, as always, who you can find literally everywhere. And we've got not a lot of things to talk about in this particular episode of Uncovered because the T20 World Cup is ongoing. So there's only so much news going around. But one of, you know, the topics is actually directly linked to this T20 World Cup, Jared. And we saw Sri Lankan spinner Mahesh Theekshana complain about the travel times that Sri Lanka have had to, you know, experience. They were in a hotel that was 90 minutes away from the ground in New York in Nassau County. And also they are playing in four different venues. They've gotten stuck at airports. They have to wake at 5 a.m. in the morning. And it's been quite ruthless in terms of getting around. And he's just gone out and complained about that. And I feel like that's quite brave.
Yeah, I mean, quite often a team will just get screwed over at a World Cup. It happens in franchise cricket as well. These are hard things to schedule. It does feel to me that, like, so South Africa has played three games in New York and Sri Lanka is bouncing around everywhere. So I suppose if you're playing three games on one wicket and that wicket doesn't suit you, like if New Zealand got stuck in Guyana for three games, they would also be like, this hasn't gone very well. So there's always something to complain about if you're an international cricketer. And that's not to say he shouldn't be complaining about it either, right? Like, I think it's a fair thing to come out. Mm. But I think New Zealand complained about the fact that they didn't get the practice under Guyana at Guyana under lights before they played there. You know, it's these things are never perfect. Everyone was at a friggin' IPL 5 minutes ago, right?
Also, New Zealand had the option of playing a warm-up game.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, none of these things work out perfectly the way that you want it to. That's not the reason that Sri Lanka is losing. They got caught on a tricky wicket and then should have won the other game as well. But I think it's also okay for Theekshana to say, you know, we shouldn't be treated this way. And I do think sometimes some of the schedules don't really make sense. It is not an easy tournament to come up with a schedule for, but I think we can all say based on the times and the locations and everything else that it's a bit rare.
Yeah, they're like four different time slots or five different time slots for games. I have had the weirdest sleeping patterns throughout this tournament. It's been weird.
No, everyone's like that, right? Anyone following the tournament not in the USA or in that time zone has been like, what the hell? When is the games happening? Then, you know, you get up for a game and there isn't even a game at that time zone. And you're like, what? They've just decided not to use this time slot today? So it's all, I could understand a player being frustrated by that, which is fair, but you know, that's cricket.
I think it's a very valid complaint that Theekshana had. And you know, for instance, in football, you see this all the time. The managers of teams, you know, club football, they'll be complaining about the schedule all the friggin' time. So this is a sport issue, not just a cricket.
American sports call it a schedule loss, right? And I do that sometimes for IPL teams and other T20 leagues I've covered where I'm just like, yeah, we're going to lose this game because we're traveling from Guyana to blah, blah, blah at 4 a.m. and we're playing a game that night. We're probably going to lose that game. We need to get that in our head, right? This is not done for the athletes to perform in their optimum. It is done to get ratings and to make money. And sometimes the athletes just have to go out and perform. And unfortunately, Sri Lanka haven't done that.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. What do you think is easier, playing back-to-back T20Is at the same venue or traveling with a day in between and then playing, you know, one day after?
It probably depends on different players, right? You know, fast bowlers don't really like getting on planes. You know, anyone with a stiff back doesn't really want to be on a plane or hanging around. You lose a training day as well. It's very hard to do a training on a day where, especially, you know, it's different if you've got like a 1 hour flight from Melbourne to Sydney, but if you've got a legitimate flight or it's an international flight or anything like that, that's pretty much your day gone. You know, in the 2 hours you have to get there beforehand and waiting for your bags and everything at the other end. So, to answer your question, this is the point. There is no optimal, right? They both suck.
Yeah.
And let's say, I'm trying to think of who's a better team. Let's say Bangladesh had to play three games, their three most important games at New York, right? That's not a pitch that probably suits them particularly well that they would want to be playing all their games on, right? When they could be playing in Guyana or Barbados, right? They'd much rather play, be island hopping and traveling around and have a terrible schedule and play on the wickets that help them than stay on the pitch that doesn't. So you've got to factor that in as well. It's just, I'm on Tikshana's side because I've had to do these shit schedules before and I know exactly what it's like, but that is professional sport now.
Yeah. I also feel like he probably got super pissed off when they were held at like an airport for 8 hours. That delay probably killed Tikshana, but his rant prompted Pakistan's or the PCB's chairman, Mohsin Naqvi, to change the hotel of Pakistan in Nassau County, or well, in New York. They were 90 minutes away, and now they were 10 minutes away from the ground, which is why they only lost by 6 runs, Jared. Otherwise, it would have been 6.
Yeah, look, we've seen this sort of stuff before, and you know, I've stayed with I've stayed near a ground in a nice hotel, and the players are like an hour and a half away in certain places. And you do think to yourself, how has this happened? But you got to remember that for world events, there's a lot of regulations of what kind of hotels that you need to stay in. I remember I was almost brought in to help with the Global T20 at one stage because all the players were rioting because the pool didn't have the facilities that the players needed. The hotel didn't have a pool was one of the things. So they couldn't go into the pool afterwards and sit in the water for hours, and it didn't have an adequate gym, and there was something else that, you know, it didn't have and things like that. Finding a hotel like that, that will block off a room, that will allow ACSU to work with your security. Do you know what I mean? There's actually a lot of details with that. But let's be honest, you shouldn't be 90 minutes away from a ground. I'm not a big fan. Yeah. I don't know that much about Nassau County, but all I could say is...
Especially, Jared, when the games are at 10 a.m. in the morning, right? That complicates things.
Look, and again, nothing is perfect. And this is a very good example of that.
Yeah. I mean, in the last Uncovered podcast, we talked about how the scheduling and the ticket pricing and all of that stuff has been quite poor. And that's cricket for you. You mentioned how... We just get what we get, right? It's not like the sport is optimally run.
I always am amazed that we have a World Cup.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on to our next talking point. Dambulla's franchise in the LPL.
Back.
You were away on vacation when this came up for the first time, but their owner, Tamim Rehman, was arrested by the police on charges of corruption. So he lost the franchise and the franchise was ownerless for a bit. But, you know, the LPL said that they'll get another owner and the franchise will be back. So, excuse me, guys, if I mispronounce this, but Sequoia Consultants, based out of Los Angeles, Sequoia. God help me, I don't know how to pronounce that. I'm going to go with Sequoia. So, Sequoia Consultants, based out of Los Angeles, have bought Dambulla's franchise. And they've been Dambulla Aura. They've been Dambulla Giants. They've been Dambulla Vikings. Now they are the Dambulla Sixers. What do you make of the story?
Spell that out to me again. S-E-Q.
S-E-Q-U-O-I-A. That's a lot of vowels. That's all the vowels.
I've got a feeling I know these people.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. I've got a feeling that I had a bunch of meetings with them, maybe to invest in 99.94.
Ooh.
It just, the minute you said it, I was like, wait a minute, I know that. But maybe I've known from somewhere else. I'd have to go through my emails. But this gets even more random because at one stage, Sri Lankan cricket were looking at running that team themselves. And I was also contacted by someone to help come in. So I wasn't that far off from being, I don't even know what job I would have had with the Dambulla, whatever they were going to be called. But one of the things I was trying to do was help them with a list of who they needed to hire to run a league, and try and find a coach. And I even contacted a couple of coaches for them to see if anyone was free. This is all quite random, but it's, maybe this is better, that it's gone the way that it has. Maybe, this is a positive, and good luck to Sequoia. And I'm going to be checking my emails right after this podcast to see if those were the guys I was thinking of.
Yeah, maybe they were. Let me know if they were. Do you think this is a better or worse situation than all that went down in the BPL with the ownership changes and that stuff?
Sadly, there's a lot of bad. There's a lot of bad ownership throughout the World Cup. Throughout T20 franchise leagues. I'd be lying to you if I said that this is that I'd be sitting there going that this is one of the worst. I suppose because there was a match fixing element, although, you know, obviously we had issues within, even within the IPL when it came to that sort of stuff, but it is a little bit worse.
Yeah.
I think I think it puts some of the players in a bad, what's the best way of putting it? It puts some of the players in a bad situation that they have been drafted to this team and the owner is involved with potentially fixing. So then are they not aspersions cast over those players that they were brought in? And who knows if they had anything to do with it? They might never even met the owner yet, right? Like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if more will come out of it. But yeah, I think it's a bit icky for the players. Like, that's, you know, something that you don't really want to be associated with in any way if you're not a fixer. And so it's a bit icky from that point of view. But yeah, we've had so many shit owners in T20 cricket at this point. I'm not sure that this is like any worse than any of the others. Maybe it should be, but whether it is, I don't know.
I mean, T10 is probably the very, very shady area of franchise cricket, right? So maybe it's not as bad as that. Anyway, time for us to take a short break. We have one more talking point on Uncovered this week. You're watching Uncovered with Jared and Behram, so stay tuned. We'll be back after the side.
Cricket 8 brings you this show. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. Head over for their watch-alongs, podcasts and articles on what is happening on the field and why it matters. Cricket 8 is your place for cricket intelligence.
Welcome back to Uncovered. You guys are with Jared and Behram. And originally, we did not have this talking point in our itinerary. We had Pat Cummins playing in the MLS instead. But when this came up, I was like, Subo, replace it. We need this one up ahead. There was an article on CricBuzz today. Vijay Tagore was the one reporting. And basically, we already knew that for the Champions Trophy 2025, Pakistan had proposed that there will be no hybrid model and India will play all of their games out of Lahore. Because, you know, Lahore has a border with India. It'll be easier to get them in. And then security can be provided to the Indian players with them not moving around too much. And as per the article, of course, this is still pending, you know, a response from the BCCI, which technically means that they'll just say that we need to get clearance from the Indian government. So Jay Shah will have to talk to his dad. And we all know how that conversation goes. But the ICC has basically not, you know, told Pakistan to, you know, look at other options. They've told them to go ahead with these plans. We are already, you know, in the summer. So this tournament is what, 6-7 months away? The last time the hybrid model was shoved down Pakistan's throat in the Asia Cup, it was extremely last minute. Can we expect something similar this time? Yeah, that's what I thought as well. I quote tweeted the tweet and I was like, I will believe it when the first ball is bowled. Otherwise, I'm not believing it.
I just don't. I mean, I would love for it to happen. And I would love for them to start playing bilaterals against each other again. But with the BJP's power within Indian cricket and where it is politically, you know, some of the comments you still get on here, right? It's just, it's not, we're just not there. And, you know, I kind of, I think sometimes you have to think of worst case scenario as well. Like, I don't think there's going to be an attack on the Indian team or anything like that, but there doesn't actually have to be an attack. There just has to be a couple of some loudmouth idiot who has too many followers suggests that the Indians shouldn't be coming to Pakistan and then it becomes a big deal. Then that gets replayed 33,000 times in India. Then someone in India says, how dare this team go, you know, they're not patriotic enough because they're going to Pakistan. And then it's just, I just see it going so horribly. Now, I don't know in this social media age how it will ever happen again. And maybe that's part of the issue is there's just so much toxicity now that it won't happen. But I don't see it happening now.
I honestly never thought that the Champions Trophy could be held in Pakistan entirely, even with a hybrid model. My worst fear is that they'll make Pakistan play two games in Pakistan and then they'll... Well, my worst fear is Pakistan will play a game in Pakistan, then go to Sri Lanka, then play a game in Pakistan, then go to Sri Lanka, which happened in the Asia Cup, right? Which is Teek Shana's worst nightmare. Let's just put it that way. And the only thing that bothers me is that why not just clear the air prior so that things don't have to happen last minute? Because, you know, as someone who works in the media in Pakistan, it would give me a lot of clarity as opposed to me just waiting for things to happen, not knowing.
You haven't worked in cricket long enough because you know, I've received rights deals, like, you know, with commentary and, you know, all sorts of things, like 4 days before tournaments start. Right. Like, it's just, this is how the sport works. And a big part of it is because this is how India works, right? You know, India is a more last minute nation than some of the other nations when it comes to, you know, organizations and how they do things. Yeah.
We know that from their own host, the ODI World Cup that they hosted, so many things exactly. were last minute, dates were changed. Tickets.
If they're the most important team, then cricket is last minute, but cricket is kind of last minute and kind of haphazard on top of that as well. They don't care about the broadcast. Oh, sorry. They don't care about the journalists. They don't care about the traveling fans, right? That's just, we have to be honest. They don't. What they do care about is the broadcasters. So the broadcasting thing will become interesting. But at the same time, you know, it's not India's event. So if the broadcasters get a little bit upset, maybe India are like, eh. But India do make a ton of money off those events. So, you know, they don't want to go upsetting everyone who's going to spend money on them in the future. But I just don't think we're there. I would love, you know, it's a shame that when Pakistan were really good, that Pakistan and India didn't play a test series against each other, right? I don't care about the bilateral ODIs, but or anything like that. They can keep playing at World Cups whenever they want to. But, you know, it's a shame that they haven't, with the World Test Championship, isn't seen as a World Cup. And so, they don't play each other, you know, through that and all those sorts of things. But that's where we are. And, you know, just it's a bit like with Teek Chandra before. I'm on board. It's Sankalp, it might have been in the last podcast, was talking about, you know, Sandeep Lambert. I'm on board with a lot of these things, but the world does not work to our particular whims, which is very, very sad because I have some excellent whims.
Yeah. Also, if someone from the BCCI is watching or the Indian government, look, if you do play bilaterals and test series with Pakistan, you will win and you will fix that head-to-head record, right? Think about that. It's just some food for thought. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't see any positive news and I'm already mentally preparing myself for the Champions Trophy to go to shit last minute and we barely get any games in Pakistan. That's my default assumption. Let's see if things change. There was an election recently in which I think the BJP did not get the majority. Maybe that has some sort of impact how cricket is run in India.
I don't think they had the majority before, though, did they? I think they just made a...
I mean, my Indian friend, my really good Indian friend who I will not name, told me that, you know, maybe there's a chance Jay Shah loses his
job. Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. Like, I see what you mean there. Yeah. It'd be really interesting because BJP, I don't think I've ever seen, outside of Imran Khan, but that doesn't quite count, but I don't think I've ever seen a political party, maybe Mugabe would be the last one, that is as intertwined with a cricket board. So it isn't that cricket has been used politically by Australia and England and many countries, right? Like, I'm not saying that it hasn't been used politically. It's friggin' empire building, right? But I don't know if I've ever seen a political party, not a government, but just a political party be so interested in it. So I don't know how you unwind that, but maybe in India, what happens is if another government it changes or whatever the powers may be, or different politicians come in, even from the BJP, who are just like, can we just let cricket be cricket and we're going to go do this thing? Maybe things change a little bit there. I'm not sure. But it's fascinating. Yeah. But yeah, Champions Trophy. I'd be shocked if all the games are played in Pakistan.
Should it be a T20 competition instead of an ODI competition?
I don't think Champions Trophy should exist, so maybe I'm the wrong person to ask on this. It will be a T20 competition eventually, right? So it doesn't really matter if it's now or next time. It's going to happen. It gets a little bit tricky with T20, though, because if T20 is at the Olympics and it's Champions Trophy and it's a World Cup, it just gets a little bit ickier, and even the Olympics might be going, wait a minute. So keeping it as one day might work for a little while, but eventually it's going to, you know, I don't know. We don't even know how long the 50-over World Cup is going to be going, let alone the Champions Trophy.
Yeah, that's true. And the Champions Trophy, I am surprised it's all, like, how has it survived? You know, it hasn't survived.
They cancelled it and it came back. Yeah. It's a friggin' zombie, man.
After 8 years, it's going to be back. And weirdly enough, Pakistan, if they do get to play at home, they'll be defending that title at home. Also, if any of you viewers and listeners want to learn more about the BJP's association with the BCCI, read the Sharda Ugra piece on Wisden. Anyway, that wraps up this episode of Uncovered. We don't have any super chats, do we? Oh, we do.
Oh, sorry.
We do.
Sorry.
So let's take those super chats and then we shall call it a day. Anmol Srivats, for the fourth time, I believe, today, says, how does the Indian election result affect global cricket? How closely was it being watched from that angle? I don't think it was being watched from that angle in particular, but it impacts Indian cricket, so automatically it kind of impacts.
I think we just answered that, didn't we, Anmol? Sorry, we didn't see your question. It does, because as I said, the direction that it's all going to go and how it's going to become up. But as I said, the party is so intertwined with cricket. And, you know, Sharda wrote that piece, but it's something I've been noticing for a long, long time, that had been coming in and coming in more and more. And so it's so intertwined, I don't know how it goes. But as power shifts in India in general, and it's not just this election, as it shifts, other people will get more interested. Eventually, maybe someone will come in and just be like, oh, need to be independent. I don't know. Maybe Gautam Gambhir will end up being prime minister one day, and then he'll do an Imran Khan type of thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, there are so many different angles to it. But I do think, everything that happens in India, right, is really, really important. I find it very, very interesting that they're still advertising, what are those things called? The photos that people paid a lot of money for that you own.
NFTs. Yeah,
they're still advertising NFTs. And a friend of mine said that that's because people in India are still buying them. So I think in the rest of the world, NFTs are not quite as big. But for whatever reason, they've hung on a little bit more in India. And this is someone from inside the house telling me this. I don't know if this is based on fact. But the truth is that, like, you know, a lot of the rest of the world still runs on emails, right? But India runs on, OTP and WhatsApp and Telegram and those sorts of things. That's where cricket will follow whatever India does, because that is the biggest marketplace. Mm. And, that's no different than any sport.
Yeah, they are the USA of cricket, and capitalism is the main sort of, what would you call it? Construct that we kind of live by in the world. All right, last super chat then. Parth right winger. Oh, there's my man. I missed you, Parth. Didn't see a question from you earlier, so I'm glad you have one now. He says, Babar Azam said post-match, pitch looked decent. Ball was coming on nicely. It was a little bit slow and some balls bounced extra. What the hell is he talking about? What pitch did he bat on? Is that what he said? I read something different.
I didn't see that at all. Rohit? I thought Rohit said something in the first game where he didn't think it was that big of a deal as well. Look, it's not a good pitch.
Definitely not a good pitch. Also, I think Babar said that we were targeting 40 to 45 runs in the power play, but we played too many dot balls. So it was a very vanilla answer.
Yeah. I didn't see that with Babar Azam, but I can tell you what the players are saying privately. And they are like, why are we having to play on this pitch? It's a club pitch. It is not an international pitch. And anyway, we're about to go do a whole podcast on it, so Bayram doesn't want me to.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for your question, Parth, and everyone else who gave us or sent us super chats and interacted with us in the comments.
Wait, one more from Parth. And just came in.
Parth has another one. He says, went to college in Bengaluru, spent countless hours eating Nandini Dairy's Choco Bars, which is a local brand owned by Karnataka state government. Any idea why they're advertising on Ireland cricket team jerseys? Wow. No, I do
well,
not.
Well, UAE had Indian sponsors before. So we have had Indian sponsors on other teams at World Cups before.
And Daraz, I think, which is a Pakistan firm, has been Bangladesh's sponsor. Afghanistan have Etisalat, which is, I think, the phone company in the UAE. These things happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite common now. Who are you? Are more people in Ireland going to watch a World Cup, or are more people in India going to watch a World Cup, right? Even when Ireland's playing. And that's the same with anything like that. You have to think about where the money is coming from. And it's a lot cheaper. If India are playing Ireland, right, it's cheaper to sponsor Ireland than it is India.
That is definitely true. Anyway, that wraps up this episode of Uncovered. Thank you to everyone in the comments. And just a quick reminder, you guys can go to goodareas.co. Bookmark that webpage and it can prove to be a one-stop shop for all the work that we do as a team, whether it be written work, podcasts, or videos. And thank you once again for turning up. Whoever's still with us from the start to end, you guys are legends. We'll be back with another episode of Uncovered next week. That is all for today. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Behram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku, as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.